Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beers, a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
And we hope you're alive and well, unlike some things in this universe. Is that fair to say?
It's semi-fair to say, because there are living dead things in this universe.
Yeah, there are. Usually they're called zombies.
Ooh, unless you're watching Game of Thrones, in which case they're called the Mountain.
Or White Walkers.
Yeah, I forgot about that, there's a lot of
zombie-like things. But no, the reason we're talking about the living dead is we're drinking a beer today called White Zombie.
White Zombie.
Yeah, and it's from the great state of North Carolina.
Asheville, to be specific.
Oh, yeah. That town is popping off.
It's popping off. It's popping off.
Yeah. What's up? It's me, Asheville.
Hey, what do you guys think? Should we just pop off tonight?
Somehow, it's Italian.
Yeah, we're going to pop off.
What I meant to say was, this is a town that's become very popular as a vacation destination.
Yeah, great. I mean, I've heard a lot about it from the perspective of bachelor parties, bachelorettes.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of nature out there. You could do your hiking. Then it's got a burgeoning brew scene.
That's right. We actually have a fan of ours to thank for providing this.
Yes.
Let's give him a shout out.
Yes. RJ Rivard made the long trip. His father is a pilot, and so he flew down there. And RJ was kind enough to drive down and then drive back with a haul for us. So you will hear in the future a couple more beers from the great city of Asheville.
And for those who are in the south region of the United States, we know that we do a lot of Midwest beers, but we're going to be covering your territory quite a bit.
Yeah, we're making an effort. We're making an effort. We can't promise that they'll all be dark beers. So I'm sorry, Tommy Rapp, but you're out of luck.
Yeah, but what we can promise is that this is going to be an interesting beer. So, like I said, it's called White Zombie, and it is a white ale.
Yeah.
We'll tell you a little bit about that.
So a white ale is, from my research, it's a wit beer. It's going to be similar to, like, an Allagash White is going to be the closest comp for us, for those who are familiar with that. But a Blue Moon might be a good comp. It's going to be a light, almost like a light in color. This one hopefully will look a little whitish compared to the yellow, and a nice smooth, easy drink. So we're looking at 5.1% alcohol. And as described, they named this beer as a Halloween seasonal brew, but the taste was so refreshing that they made it a year-round staple.
It's just one of those things that won't go away, kind of like zombies themselves.
Absolutely.
And Vince, this is from Catawba Brewing. Is that how you pronounce it?
I would guess Catawba.
Catawba?
Chumbawamba.
Chumbawamba Brewing.
Chumbawamba. No, I think it's Catawba.
Catawba. Okay.
But I can't be sure about that. And that comes from, I believe, the river down there. Tom, I don't know if you want to tell us a little bit about the logo, because it's one of those very cool logos that's many things.
Yeah, so it's popular in sports and entertainment when people get their own brands that the brand logo is like a combination of their number and their initials in some kind. This logo for Catawba is, it looks like a river and a prairie and possibly a road. You flip that can upside down, you see that it's the great states of North Carolina and South Carolina.
I think that's a mountain. A mountain, a river, and
right.
A prairie valley, whatever.
But it's exactly as I described. It's sort of a combination of the things that make up that area. So that's pretty cool. Cool branding. The can itself, also very cool. Of course, it's got the white zombie man, and it's purple. So, if you are a fan of those two things, you are in great shape with this can.
All right. So, I think maybe we just crack them and we go from there.
Let's give it a shot. Cheers.
Cheers.
Hope we don't die. Oh, boy.
Well, we'll just come back alive. Mm-hmm. Smells familiar.
Yes, that is that's definitely a wheat smell.
That's interesting.
I don't know why I was expecting a little more flavor off the top, but I kind of was.
I'll say right now that the zombie is almost the perfect analog for this, because it's one of those things where it goes down my throat and I don't taste anything, and then it just billows up. I taste everything afterwards. It's a very cool experience.
Yeah, it sneaks up on you.
Mm.
A lot like, well, I guess zombies don't really sneak up on everybody.
No, I mean, they move a little slow. So.
Yeah, and I don't know if we mentioned this, but this is a coriander, orange, fruity, spicy. So it is definitely balancing a lot of things delicately, but it just doesn't pop off right away.
No, it's one. This is the first beer. I think we've also been trafficking in a lot of the pale ale and some of that dank, very hoppy stuff that just hits you as soon as it touches your tongue. And this is very subtle, and then it just sort of mushrooms a little bit. One thing I want to talk about right off the top here is I hear White Zombie, and it sounds like a great name for a 70s or an 80s hair band or like a 70s rock band, something.
Yeah,
like,
hair metal.
Yeah, you would never. I feel like today's bands, it's all, you know, like, oh, Dave Marks, You Broke My Heart type. I don't know, like a Soft Heart or Spaces or like, I don't know.
No, there's a little bit of a delicateness now with the way bands are named, and they usually are self-referential to pop culture in a way that just wasn't present back in the 70s and 80s. Let's also not forget there is an artist named Rob Zombie.
Yes.
Who is an accomplished musician and filmmaker. I recently just learned that he directed his own version of the original Halloween. Did you know this?
I didn't know this. I did know that he puts his wife in every single one of his movies.
Oh, he does. Yeah. And his movies are exactly what you would expect a Rob Zombie production to be. But I think you raise an interesting point. Like, hair metal as a genre had a very large moment in the 1980s and extended a little bit into the 90s. But it was all about having fun, doing drugs. There was not a lot of substance to the music other than that. And it was just kind of like an easygoing time. And that is sort of how I feel about this beer right here.
It's so interesting, though, that it's an easygoing time, and then they have such an aggressive name, like Poison.
Right.
Are you kidding me?
But their biggest song was Every Rose Has Its Thorn. It's basically a ballad.
Aren't they the same guys who did the, forgive me, I'm not up to speed on my...
I can catch you up, yeah.
Nothing But a Good Time, right? Isn't that them?
Yes, that is them. I was thinking of Motley Crue as another song called Dr. Feelgood.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
he's
yeah.
the one to call Dr. Feelgood. Yeah.
That does not help me at all.
Oh, you never heard that song?
I heard it in the Motley Crue documentary.
Have you seen...
featuring Machine Gun Kelly.
Oh, that's not a documentary. That was a scripted movie. And that movie is a very fun, bad movie.
Oh, God.
Music biopics. We've talked about them on the show. So I won't rehash that opinion. I did want to ask you this, Vince. How into the zombie craze culturally did you get? Let's just say it began with Dawn of the Dead and sort of is on the tail end of its existence now with like The Walking Dead.
Well, give us the timeline. Give us the timeline to walk through it, right? It starts with Dawn of the Dead is what you're saying.
Dawn of the Dead, and I would say probably 28 days later.
28 days later.
Yeah, and then
it moves into...
Shaun of the Dead.
Sure. I guess that counts. Shaun of the Dead. Then some more like self-referential stuff, which would be something like...
I Am Legend.
I Am Legend, World War Z.
Yeah.
You know, stuff where it's the apocalypse type. And then, of course, we got...
The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead, which somehow has spawned, like, that's got to be the most successful franchise AMC has. At least, like, maybe not the most successful,
far.
But, like, the most profitable one, because they just keep spinning it off.
Yeah, they have the regular Walking Dead show. Then they have Fear the Walking Dead, which somehow only covers the timeline before the virus. I don't watch the show, but from what I've read online, we still do not know what caused the zombie outbreak. And because AMC is so financially invested in it, I don't think that they're ever going to tell you what solved it, because then the show would be over.
Yeah, and God forbid that a show that's gone at this point, a collective like 21 seasons,
yeah, and they
should be over.
And they've also picking up the mantle that Game of Thrones kind of kicked off of, just like shocking character deaths that have, from what I know, replaced the most important parts of the story structure.
So to answer your question, I never really got into it, but I find it interesting that we're going through these phases where we're like humanizing slash not humanizing, but obsessing over these quote unquote monsters. Remember when vampires were big?
Well, that's the thing. Like, vampires had their run, and then the zombie thing kind of picked it up right after that.
When will werewolves have their...
They had their moment in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. No, and they came back with the MTV, the critically acclaimed MTV show, Teen Wolf.
Yeah, right. Yeah, so they already had their moment. I guess, like, Van Helsing kind of tried to revitalize the monster genre in a way. Oh, they even tried to bring back The Mummy with Tom Cruise.
Which Remember is that? So weird, because they put... It's like they wanted they wanted Jake Johnson in there. Right, but they just didn't think that he was a good fit, which is weird because he's almost like a shorter, squatter, modern day Brendan Fraser, you know?
Yeah, I guess so. He's not like he's not as much of a classic leading man type as Brendan Fraser was, but yeah, Brendan Fraser in The Mummy, that was definitely the height of his career, popularity wise. And he's really not on the radar, but yeah, it seems like the what we're uncovering and talking about this is that we go through cycles with these various monsters that are part of our lore. And, you know, I think we're kind of at the tail end of the zombie movement, if you will. And I'm sure The Walking Dead will continue. I know they have some loyal fans, but dude, it's definitely not what it used to be.
At this point, at the end of every Walking Dead episode, I haven't watched more than like a quarter of one, but I assume at this point it just says executive producer Dick Wolf.
Yeah, they've had a bunch of showrunners, I know that. And the one main showrunner just like settled a lawsuit with AMC where he got paid about $50 million for...
Why?
I could be off on this, but I think he was just upset that they like kicked him out of the series, and he was part of like the comic series. But I'll just come out and say it. I don't ever plan on catching up on The Walking Dead. I'm sorry.
Well, you won't have to run if you do.
But I do plan on trying this out of the glass, which is something we do on this show.
And it is.
If you are still unfamiliar with it, we do this every episode where we can. And we try to see if there's a difference. I think there's not going to be much of a difference with this one. That's just my prediction.
Now, I think I've started to use this less as, is there a difference, and more as, what does this look like? Because I'm always curious. And this is, staring at it, it is a lighter beer. You know, it's very, if I had to describe this beer, basically, if I had to assign it a hydration level, I would say it's adequately hydrated.
I agree. This looks a lot like, you know, your standard domestics in the glass. It's not aromatic. I'm going to give it a sip.
Very tasty. It's still very tasty. I'll tell you what, I could have a million of these.
Oh, high crushability factor.
Huge.
No question.
Huge crushability factor. Could have a million of them.
I can also see why they opted not to make this a Halloween seasonal, because this does not feel like a seasonal fall product.
No, I agree. To be honest, it feels just like Allagash White does, in that there's no particular season which you would expect to assign it.
Yeah, it's naturally just a year-round product, you know, and it's interesting that we just kind of have passed through Halloween season, and we keep talking about all these different monster types, but, you know, I'm trying to pin my thoughts onto what else this reminds me of, outside of just the name itself. Like, just talking about the taste.
Yeah, taste-wise, it's that stealth mode, right? Is what it reminds me of. It, not necessarily. I mean, that's kind of the track that I'm on.
Yeah.
Is it's something that, you know, I turned on, and I expected nothing out of it, and then I was immediately sucked in. And if I was doing any kind of work or housework, it was over. I had to be there to see the rest of this through. And then all of a sudden, it was the next day, and I'm trying to think of what that might be experientially for me.
Well, I can tell you something that recently did that for me. It was a surfing documentary on HBO.
Yes!
100 Foot Wave.
Awesome!
Did you see that?
Yes!
Okay. I'm glad you've seen it.
Okay, now my brother's a big surfer, so yeah. I kind of went in that with some higher expectations.
Well, I don't know anything about surfing, and I had some time to kill, and I just decided to like turn it on. And I found it to be a simultaneously engrossing and frightening experience to watch.
Yeah.
Because for those who haven't seen it, this guy named Greg McNamara, he is...
Garrett McNamara, yes.
Excuse me. Shout out to the Syracuse point guard, by the way. I believe his name is...
Jerry McNamara. We're the one two fucking games without Jerry fucking McNamara.
So this guy, Garrett McNamara, he's a big wave surfer, and what that means is he searches for enormous waves. Like, we're talking like 50 to what the title is, 100
foot waves.
He's
looking for hundreds.
And he discovers this town in Portugal called Nazaré that has basically the most dangerous intersection of waves in the world. And he has made it his life's work to conquer these waves. And he's now like been doing it over the course of 10 years. They have all this footage of him and other surfers attempting to surf these waves. He did at one point surf the largest wave ever recorded. I believe it was like 82 feet or something. But yeah, these people are insane.
No, they are insane. What shocked me about that is the level of science that goes into it. I mean, when you think of a typical surfer, you think of that empty-headed kind of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure type guy. And, you know, they still... This guy has... If you listen to Garrett McNamara speak, you're like, oh, yeah, this guy's a surfer. But, like, he studied the topography. He conversed with all of these experts on weather patterns and how different topologies under the ground, under the sea work, and how to do this safely. Like, it's pretty incredible the amount of work and just general intelligence that a lot of these guys have.
And they put their bodies through hell. Like, these guys seem indestructible. And I think the thing that I took away from it the most is that what makes these guys different from 99.9% of the planet is that they can't resist, like, the temptation.
Yes.
It doesn't matter to them. Like, they know they could die. And for them, it's like, I'd rather die trying than not try at all.
Now, there's a specific point in time, and I'm not giving away too much when I say this, so there's no spoiler alert here, where Garrett McNamara says, I used to love getting held under and thrashed around and get in, I think they call it, what do they call it, the rinse cycle?
Yeah.
Something like that. And that's where you wipe out, a wave crashes on top of you, and then waves just keep coming.
Yeah.
You get
sucked in. The undertow.
The undertow, everything. You just can't get out, and you're thrashed, and you're tossed about. And he said, I used to love that. What kind of mental state do you have to be in to love that?
You have to be crazy. And that's what's so riveting about it. You watch it knowing that there's no way you would ever attempt to do it, but you just can't look away. And it's interesting that we're talking about this after we've talked about how we don't really like horror movies. Like, how is that really any different from horror movies? In some respects, it's not quite the same. But I think for me, the difference is these are real things that happen in real life. Like, it's not scripted.
That's fair. That's understandable.
Yeah.
I think you're right. There is that reality aspect to it. I just also think it's captivating to see somebody who looks like you, speaks like you, you know, just is a human and having a human experience, go do these things and think, wow, I could never do that. Wait a minute, maybe I could.
Yeah, if I tried hard enough.
Versus like horror, what am I gonna do? I'm Unless it's one of those serial killer ones, in which case, yeah, go out and be a serial killer.
Or if you want to reenact what it's like to be in a horror movie, just get a group of six people together and make every bad decision until you're all dead. It's like there's a Geico commercial about that. Yes. Where you've seen the one.
I know exactly. Where
they're like, let's just get in the running car. Yeah.
Are you crazy?
Outside behind these chainsaws.
So I'm ready to give my final comparison here. Okay. And it's going to be any Olympic sport that is a non-traditional American sport. That's what this is to me. And it's following along that same trail and that same path of I turned it on because it was on and now I can't stop. It's so engrossing. It's so good. Yeah. I watched like 4.5 hours of road cycling one summer and I you couldn't pay me to do that. I won't even turn on the Tour de France, but I got sucked in by the Olympics.
Yeah. Or like the bike racing. That's like the BMX stuff. I got into that randomly one day. I do love beach volleyball. I don't know if we count that as a traditional sport, but that's generally very riveting.
Curling. Have you watched these people hyperextend their knees while they speed walk?
I love the curling stuff. You can curl here in Chicago too.
Yes, over at Kaiser Tiger.
That's right.
It's very fun.
Yeah. No, I think it's also fair. Like, we as people generally like watching people be excellent at stuff that we don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just when something's done well, you just respect it. And this is done well. To be honest, that's not a bad comp. Not a bad comp at all. Kataby got comp to the Olympics.
White zombies coming to your Olympics.
So overall, I'm going to go ahead and give this a nice, you know what? I'm not ready to give it a full 4. I'd like to go to like a 3.9.
3.9.
Are we going to allow me to do that?
Fractional? We will allow it. Yeah, I was going to say this is a 3.5 for me. I'm enjoying it. I think it's good, and I love the story and the name. It's just not like mind-blowing to me. So
right.
That's where I'm at, 3.5. Good beer. I'd have it again. I'd crush these all day in Asheville, North Carolina.
I would have... a million. I said it before, I'll say it again. I would have a million of these.
Right.
Nobody show up to my door with a million and say, let's go. Yeah. Come on, you said it.
Let me ask you this as a closing question. How long would you survive a zombie apocalypse?
I hate this question. Nothing about that seems fun.
Yeah.
Like you and four strangers who you can't trust.
I wouldn't last long. I have no hunting skills or outdoorsmanship. I've never fired a gun in my life. I don't think I would last. I would be eaten probably very quickly.
That is clear. I mean, like, I'd wander around the emptiness of a cityscape for probably about a week or so, and then I'd get bored, or I'd run into one of these beasts, and I'd be like, okay, that's enough. Time to get out of here.
Not all of us would have the setup of, like, a nice Manhattan apartment with a workout facility like our boy Will Smith in I Am Legend.
Okay, now I'm thinking twice about this, and maybe I do. Maybe I do survive a long time.
If I have that set up, then yeah, I could go for a while.
Dude, you could just take it. No one's alive.
True, I guess.
But you could live in Jeter's apartment.
You have to figure out, like, a way that works for you.
You could live in Jeter's apartment.
Come on, you could live in Jeter's place. Well, we'll save that full analysis for another episode. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Please like, subscribe, and review our show on Apple, Spotify, across the internet, on Instagram.
We do read them. We have done it in the past. And as far as our country race, no change.
No changes yet, but it's looking close between Canada and the UK.
Yeah, who's gonna blink first?
Who will it be? Find out soon, but until then, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans.
Must booze.
See you later.